This is the Publix Radio, 89.3 FM. I'm Chuck Hinman. Thursday morning, time for Artscape, and producer James Baumgartner is in the studio with me this morning.
Good morning, Chuck. When Pope Francis gave a speech to Congress in 2015, he mentioned four Americans. One of them was Dorothy Day.
A nation can be considered great when it strives for justice and the cause of the oppressed, as Dorothy Day did.
Like many people, I was wondering, who is Dorothy Day?
Well, there's a new documentary about her called Revolution of the Heart. We talked with filmmaker Martin Doblemeyer about the film that's showing tonight at Bishop Hendricken High School.
Well, Martin, your film, to me, was a revelation, and I hate to admit it, but I knew very little, if anything, about Dorothy Day until actually seeing it. So I was fascinated at the history there, being old enough to remember a lot of that. The Berrigans, the anti-Vietnam War demonstrations, and I knew all those people, but somehow Dorothy Day just never got onto my radar, so I was just fascinated with the history there.
She's a unique character. For those who know Dorothy Day, she's an absolute hero. I mean, you can imagine over the years, thousands of people, especially young people, have come into the what they call the Catholic worker movement, and given of their time, given years of their lives to be part of that project. And yet at the same time, she's not as much of a popular figure as you might say. She never wound up on the cover of Time magazine.
She's one of the co-founders of the Catholic Worker, which started in the Great Depression as a newspaper, but became much more than that.
It first becomes a journalistic effort to be able to announce through her pen what was happening, the injustices in the world. But people then came to her and said, well, you're talking about people who are poor and displaced and need basic substance, and you're not doing anything about it? And that's ultimately what drove her to just instinctively say, let's just do this. Let's go out and get ourselves a house and start with a first house, and then it became a second house. Basically, it is immediate care for the poor, housing if it's necessary for people. They find that also to be a place where people can come together and galvanize around important issues, whether it's legislative issues for the poor, for healthcare, Medicare, environmental issues. So it's both a political movement and an immediate crisis movement.
She wasn't born Catholic. She lived a rather bohemian life when in her young adulthood and converted to Catholicism, a very conservative Catholicism. You say that she found a deep meaning in the Catholic Mass and the Eucharist, but she was also fairly leftist in her politics in her youth. She even became more radical after converting to Catholicism, becoming sometimes close to an anarchist in some ways. How did she reconcile these two seemingly disparate beliefs?
I wouldn't call her a conservative Catholic. I think that's a loaded label today. I'd be careful about that. But I would certainly say she was a traditional Catholic. She believed in the rosary. She went to daily mass. She received communion. She prayed 2-3 hours a day. She loved the saints. She saw in the saints a model for behavior and for prayer. And so she was a traditional Catholic, and yet I think that's what gave her the foundation that she was looking for to go out and then transform the world both politically and socially.
Her life is really extraordinary to me in the great stretch of causes that she was involved in. I mean, she goes from women's suffrage to the Vietnam War. And in there was the anti-civil defense drill movement that she was involved in. I remember those drills. I'm young enough, but I don't remember the opposition to it. I'm too young for that. What was that all about?
Back in the 1950s, of course, you have to put yourself back in a mindset when there was such tension between the United States and the Soviet Union. The threat of nuclear weapons was everywhere. We had not that long ago dropped the bomb ourselves on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And so it was a very real concern in America. And so the American government decided the best thing that we can do is to prepare people for the inevitable retaliation by the Soviet Union. If this is to happen, we should be ready for this. And so they organized civil defense drills. Everybody was sent into the corners. Everybody was sent into underground shelters. I'm old enough to have been, I went to a Catholic school, and the nuns had me crawl underneath my desk.
We did the same thing in my elementary school.
What is that going to do? So in the midst of a nuclear bomb. So, but we did it. We obediently did that, and thinking that in some ways we are going to be safe now. And so Dorothy Day decided that what this is really doing is immunizing people against the notion of how severe this whole kind of discussion is about the use, threat, even the threat to use nuclear weapons. And so she refused to participate in it. And the first year that that happened, she was arrested. It wasn't a big movement on their part. There's the Catholic workers coming out and saying, no, walking around up and down New York streets with banners and saying, we're not going to be part of this. Next year, it got a little bit larger. Third year, it got larger than that. Fourth and fifth year, and by the sixth year, I believe it was, the government stopped the civil defense drills. I wouldn't say it was because of the Dorothy Day movement. I think it was simply because there was enough resistance to say, in reality, we're not really sure what this does, how effective these drills could actually be.
Right.
There's a few familiar faces in the documentary. Who can people expect to see?
Well, one of the people who's interviewed in the film and talks specifically about the whole notion of remembering himself the civil defense drills is Martin Sheen. He has longtime associate and really a big fan of Dorothy Day. Martin Sheen talks about when he was a young, struggling actor in New York, which must have been a long time ago because he's been very successful for a long time. Struggling actor in New York, and he didn't even really know what he was getting into. He literally walks into a Catholic worker house. He needed a meal and a place to stay, and they took care of him, and all of a sudden a light went off. And he's been a loyal fan and a follower of the Catholic worker movement ever since. The public theologian Cornel West is in the film, and we have two of the granddaughters of Dorothy Day, Martha Hennessy and her sister Kate Hennessy. One's an author and one's an activist, and they really are able to connect the notion of growing up in a Dorothy Day environment with what they became in their own lives and seeing the reality of what the Catholic movement, Catholic worker movement was for them in the different cities that they would go to around the country.
Yeah, well, when the Pope did address Congress and mention people, he mentioned four people. She was one of them. And I think many people had the reaction I did, which was, I've heard of all of those people but Dorothy Day.
In fact, Senator Tim Kaine tells the story that there were other senators who came up to him afterwards and said, well, what the heck is the Pope talking about Doris Day for? No connection for them whatsoever.
You have a great connection with Rhode Island, having gone to Bishop Hendricken and Providence College. And in fact, the screening tonight is at Hendricken, right?
It is. Hendricken was good to me. Yes, I went to 4 years at Bishop Hendricken, and then I finished, went to college at Providence College. So I've had my roots here for many years. And also, too, I have to say that for me, Hendricken was an experience where I took the formulaic sense of religion. I had been taught as a Catholic boy growing up in a Catholic school, the Baltimore Catechism, everything was sort of structured and clear. And yet when I got to high school, they actually had the courage to sort of link notions of what you had learned in the Bible and learned in your catechism with the notion of social justice. And so by the time I'm in high school, junior and senior year in high school, I'm joining the groups that are going out and involved in feeding the hungry and doing those kinds of things. So I think that seed for what I've actually done now with my life got planted right during that time when I was at Hendricken. And I've always said that it was a great experience for me.
Martin Doblmeyer, filmmaker behind Revolution of the Heart, the Dorothy Day story. Thanks for joining us today.
It's nice to be here. Thank you.
You can see Revolution of the Heart tonight at Bishop Hendricken High School in Warwick at 7 o'clock, and Martin Doblmeyer will be on hand to talk with the audience after the showing. It will also air on PBS stations sometime in March as part of Women's History Month. What else do we have on the Artscape calendar this week?
Well, there's another film screening that looks interesting. East Providence Library having a film screening and discussion about a movie called The Public. It's a fictional story about what the public means when it comes to public libraries and their role in social issues like homelessness. That's Sunday at 1:30 at the East Providence Public Library.
And there's a concert on Sunday from the Aurea Ensemble called Of Nature Composed. It's about the intersection of nature, science, the arts, and humanities. And we'll have a ticket giveaway for the concert in today's edition of our Daily Catch email newsletter, so you'll want to check that out. The concert is Sunday at 4 in the afternoon at First Unitarian Church in Providence.
And you can get links to all of the events at our website, thepublicsradio.org/arts.
And let us know about your event at that same address, thepublicsradio.org/ARTS.